This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Respect the text.
The Royals suck. Season's over. Bring on the Chiefs. 9 hours ago.
Already, huh?
Yeah.
I told you, I think opening day in baseball is more like than opening day in football is right now, right? Yeah, confidence in the Chiefs. People are just waiting for the Royals to fall off that cliff. And they didn't play so great yesterday, so now everybody's falling off the cliff. And now with an off day today, the cliff will get even deeper, right?
And the Royals really botched that.
Which part of the game was that yesterday from Benny?
Oh, I can tell you.
Oh.
In comes the 2-2 pitch. Ground ball third. Runner's going to try to score. The runner at third, Blanco's caught in a rundown. And now they are able to tag him out. Now the runner to second is caught between second and third. And racing back towards second out there. And then they tag the runner who came back from first base. And the Royals really botched that.
So there's the play yesterday that had everybody in a frenzy. I was sitting next to Carrington at the game. And I think seven straight times, Carrington just said, "What is Kyle Isbell doing?" As they had first and third, nobody out. And one play, it turned into a man at second with two outs, and your best player was on deck watching the entire time.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, look, season's not over, so we're not here to be that guy.
God,
but
no.
It's one game. They lost opening day last year to the Cleveland Guardians, ended up winning 86 games and going to the ALDS.
Yeah.
So it is obviously a long season, but there are things that were eye-opening yesterday. The three things that stick out to me watching that game, had a great time yesterday. Beautiful weather for once.
Well, it was a great opening day, first of all.
Fantastic.
You couldn't have scripted a better weather day for that. And that's kind of what everybody said, man. The weather's perfect. Everybody was excited. Everybody was in a good mood at the ballpark yesterday. Literally everybody. And that's rare to find everybody in a great mood. But yesterday delivered, man.
Till about 4:10.
Yeah.
And even still, that game went into 10 innings, and it was done in 2 hours and like 40 minutes.
Right.
It's just crazy. But, yeah, the three things I think that stick out yesterday, number one, the base running debacle, that just can't happen.
No.
You say that this team's a playoff team, you can't have those plays.
Can't have those plays,
because Blanco's your base running guy. If you're going to be the base running guy, you just keep running through.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to Cotrero's post-game press conference, And he's like, yeah, you know, Blanco's just got to keep going through and let him tag, because then when he does that, then that's when Isbell did his thing. Stay on second. Just stand on second. Then you'd have second and first, one out, and Bobby Witt Jr. coming up to the plate makes things a little bit more tense. Because, to be fair, Class A might be broken.
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing yesterday, bro. Like, I was looking at it, and I'm like, they broke him in the postseason. And he came out. I'm glad you had that same take, too. Yeah.
Because if they would have won the game, if they'd have won the game, I was ready to say broken Class A.
Yeah.
But that sticks out. Angel Zerpa coming in that leverage situation, right? Reagan's got one more batter. He ended up walking him, and they brought in Zerpa and, you know, your lefty specialist. But again, like, I thought that's where we might see Lucas Irsaig. Obviously, I knew we weren't because the bullpen was right to my right, and I could see Zerpa warming up as he was going to be the next guy in. Mm-hmm. And they brought in Angel Zerpa, lefty-lefty matchup, and home run. Two-run shot. All of a sudden, you're staring down the barrel of a one-run deficit. And then the other thing is I don't know how much more I need to see of Hunter Renfroe and Wright.
Yeah.
Because everybody said, Dusty, you're a fanboy of Caglione. I think a rookie could have played better in right field than Hunter Renfroe.
Well, the problem, you know, with Hunter Renfroe is that salary, Dusty. I mean, they went out and they got rid of Brent Rooker a couple of off seasons ago. And that's going to go down as a pretty big mistake, I think, because now I've seen people talk about him being potentially the MVP this year of the American League. And he's been great since he's been in Sacramento, Oakland, Las Vegas, wherever they are at this point in time, right out there in Oakland. That was a big loss for the Royals. And so in order to cover for that loss, they went out and spent money on Hunter Renfroe to the tune of like $15 million. That's a bad contract. I mean, there's no question about it, but it was something that you had to do to go out there. But this is a fixed cost now, right? It's like you've already spent this money. And I understand this money is already spent, but don't let that money prevent you from doing things that can make your ball club better. And I don't think that they will, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll get to that point. I think right now we need to understand, and I think we said this pretty succinctly yesterday, before the season. I think, MJ's on a short leash. Clearly yesterday, pinch hit for him in the middle of the game yesterday, which it's not lefty versus lefty. That was like, we don't have any confidence in you, at least in my opinion anyway. If you have confidence in a guy, you let him hit whether it's a lefty or a righty. Right, you get up there and you do your thing, because it's funny, if a lefty start in a game, a lot of times lefties are in the lineup, but then a lefty reliever comes in and they're like, oh, lefties can't hit a lefty and all that. Now you either play or you don't. You either have the confidence of the coaching staff or you don't, and I don't think MJ does. I don't know how much the entire outfield now has the confidence of a lot of people right now, because I think the entire outfield showed yesterday there's work that needs to be done out there, right? And it's only one game, but these are the little things you start to look at and start to wonder, are they going to become big things, right? Hunter Renfroe yesterday was not great. Kyle Isbell, not great. MJ, not great. So you need to start to look around and start to consider maybe shorter leashes than maybe we thought. But again, it's still just one game, and the season isn't over, but it's one game that's magnified, and everybody's paying attention yesterday, whether you're a diehard Royals fan or a casual Royals fan or just somebody who lives in Kansas City. You were focused on it yesterday. Like, I was driving home yesterday, talked to one of my neighbors about it, talked to a couple of people at the kids' soccer game about it. Like, everybody was kind of dialed into what they were doing yesterday. You had a chance to make that first impression, and the first impression wasn't great. There's 161 other impressions where they can turn this around and still be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, we have one game to dive into, and it's the first game of the season, so you can be, you know, either hyperbolic or you can be, you know, concerned with what you saw yesterday. But, you know, look, there's a ball that goes down the right field line, and Hunter Renfroe plays it atrociously, leads to a triple. There's two plays in the outfield that are throws into the home plate. They were way up the line, double hopped. The arm looks completely gone. Lost at the plate as well, and like that's where, like, you know, I go back and I'm like, you know, I thought it was funny when you texted Mac and I yesterday, you're like, the clock starts now for Cags.
Yeah, it does.
And
yeah,
I'm like, I think it started in like maybe earlier than that. It might have started like mid-February. Mm-hmm. But again, like people say, well, I don't know if he can play right field. What I saw in right field yesterday was just abysmal. The throws weren't down the line. I mean, it was too hopped. It was up the line. There was never really a chance to get anybody. There's no threat. As soon as that ball was there, my eyes went straight to the third base bag, and anybody who was on third base, Bo Naylor, Jackenzie, Noel, whoever it was going to tag and go because they know what's in right field.
Right.
There's just so much more that I think that Caglione could bring at 22 and never played in the big leagues, because it looked like the guy who was in his 30s never played in the big leagues. The Zerpa thing, I was hoping we'd see Lucas Hirsig there because I think, you know, hey, to me, that was a high leverage situation.
Mm-hmm.
You were getting into the nitty gritty of the game, the bulk of the mid innings. I think Cole Reagans ended up throwing, what, five innings? Was it five? Was it, he got pulled in the top of the sixth. He got one batter and they pulled him out. I get it. 83 pitches. People are concerned. It's opening day. They never really go over 90 in their first couple of starts. Then once they get into like June, then it's like, okay, now you might see the 100 pitch inning or the 100 pitch outings and stuff like that. But look, if we're going to bring the same energy with spring training stats don't matter, then I don't want to hear that Angel Zerpa had a great spring because Caglione had a great spring. It doesn't mean anything to a lot of people. Zerpa looked like 24 Zerpa. He came in, he had a moment, and it was a lefty-lefty matchup, and that guy that looks like Kramer Sansone hit a home run to right field, and it was, like, depleting. And then all of a sudden, it was like, okay, here we go. First and third, you got a stolen base from Blanco. You got, you know, Isbell on first. They get to first and they get to second and third. Nobody at first and third, nobody out. And then there's that base-running debacle, and it's like, why does this always seem to be Kansas City Royals baseball? So, I mean, I think, yes, opening day is such a great day. It's so much filled with excitement. They had the biggest crowd since 2017. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the sellout was there and everything was great. And then all of a sudden, it's like everybody leaves. It's like, oh, same old Royals.
Yeah, but
look, they lost that game last year to the same team. They won 86 games. I still think this team wins 87 to 89 games this season. I'm not going to shy away from that. I'm not going to let one game do it. But you get to have concerns because we haven't got to talk about baseball and an actual real game of baseball until yesterday. And yesterday, the three things that stuck out were Zerpa, Renfro, and Isbell.
Yeah, and for me, I look at like, okay, what can we take from this game that is not like panic mode at the disco at this point in time because it is one game in. But certain things that you look at and you go, okay, that was concerning yesterday. Number one, the base running, as we talked about, those are the little things. You're not going to out hit people. You're not going to out slug people. You're not going to out homer people in a market like Kansas City. So you have to do the little things correct. That's why they won a lot of games last year, because they did those little things, right? The base running was abysmal yesterday. I didn't think they were great on defense yesterday either. Bobby Witt included. Like, I just didn't think they were sharp. They were crisp. They were clean on the defensive side of things. They made a lot of, you know, gains last year because they were solid and clean and crisp on the defensive side. And then the bullpen yesterday, as we talked about, not exactly the best. Long in the 10th inning was abysmal as well. And so I just think right now, some of those little things that you look at, you say, okay, they're little things right now. Let's not allow them to become big things. And Cole Reagans yesterday, he was just a guy yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just a guy yesterday. He wasn't anything special yesterday. And we need him to be that special pitcher, right? We need him to be that Cy Young Award-winning candidate. Otherwise, we're not going to get the results that we want this year. And so you have one game in, a lot of bad taste in the mouth for a lot of people, but that's the way opening day works every year, regardless of what kind of season it is, regardless of what city you're in, regardless of what team you root for. You look at opening day as a major milestone in the season, and now they take a deep breath. They have today off. They'll play over the weekend, probably take 2 out of 3 from Cleveland. We'll be sitting here 2-1 on Monday morning, and everybody will be very happy, you know, with where this ball club is and what they're going to do. And so now you just got to, you know, you hit the reset button today. All right, all that's behind us, all that pomp and circumstance, that amazing long reception line that everybody had to run through yesterday where you come out of the tunnel, you turn right, then you got to go all the way back left and shake everybody's hand. I didn't realize they had 17 pitching specialists on the team and all that kind of stuff.
Great job to
have. Yeah, I get whatever that does. And so you had the receiving line and all that kind of stuff yesterday, all the pomp, the circumstance, all of that. You got off to Vinny Pasquantino was fantastic yesterday, MVP candidate right now, the number one MVP candidate in Major League Baseball has to be Vinny Pasquantino at this point in time. So that was a good thing yesterday. It was great to see Salvi yesterday. It was great to be at the ballpark yesterday, see that 600-pound flag and all the bunting and a stale pretzel. But other way, hey, it was just a fantastic afternoon at the ballpark, except for the result on the field. And they got 161 other ones to get this thing back.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch. And the season's over.
All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get into our overreactions. And has the clock already?
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty started. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Royals.